All right, so who's doing something? Because I can, it's pretty loud.
I think that's
Kevin. Oh, you mean pulling that comic out of the bag?
Yeah.
Kevin's... Or you mean the beep 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 beep?
No, pulling stuff out of a bag or whatever.
Oh, that was me, but I think the beeping litter. Was Phil. All
right. What beeping?
I thought I heard some kind of beeping or rattling or something. I heard some beepity.
Remember, Kevin's drunk. So, listen to me, not
him. I mean, that doesn't mean you're not ringing. It can be both things at the same time.
Phil's ringing, Kevin's drunk. No Steve, so I'm left to...
You have to trust.
To wrangle the circus on my own.
This is his fault.
This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Yeah, I didn't. So, and I'm recording, so it's not going to come through. Maybe it's your recorder. Does it beep?
Maybe. Are you running out of batteries for something? Your phone, or
maybe I should unplug. Oh, maybe I should unplug that. I'm gonna unplug that, guys.
Okay.
See, I got profiled by him. By me, and look at now he's unplugging something because he knows it's him now.
Maybe burning those CDs wasn't a good idea.
Kevin, see, he's drunk. Is this not proof, Andrew?
Oh, great. Okay, well, let's start this thing. Welcome back, listeners. Indie Comic Book Noise 512 or 512. Oh, wait, hang on a sec. Are you guys okay? Your queen died. Is this going to... Do you guys want to keep going, or do you need, like, a moment of silence or something before we start this, or...
You're right, we should just cancel the podcast.
I was wondering if we get a day off. I'm like, how often does this happen?
The Summer Breeze series continues as long as the temperatures are blisteringly hot and record-setting for me, the American host, currently, Andrew the Alley Rabbit, in Los Angeles.
So it's going to go a long time, is what you're saying.
Yeah, my summer goes forever. But for our two Canadian hosts, they are well on their way to seeing the leaves change and the beavers go into hibernation. From the Arctic Circle, we have...
Not quite yet.
The Icebox resident, WRX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Well, hello there, gentlemen.
And from the nation's capital, in Ottawa, Ontario, with the flags flying at half-mast due to their recently deceased monarch, it's the Ottawater himself, Phil. Say hi, Phil.
The civilized one on the podcast, I mean.
Well, we need someone to class it up. Super Steve is away, spending time with family and loved ones.
He just doesn't want to be on here.
Maybe he's too overcome with grief.
We will
the news.
We will lure him back, listeners. Stand tight. In the meantime, we will try to keep you amused.
That's right, listeners. Stay tight. Listen to Andrew.
I don't know. You don't want to listen to Morrison. I think at one point he said, get loose.
Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network. You can find show notes and old episodes at our website, IndieComicBookNoise.com.
Not Grant Morrison. I wasn't referring to Grant Morrison.
You can find us on social media, Indie Comic Book, and on Twitter, the Facebook fan page. And that's it for social media. We didn't... Our plan to take over TikTok and Be Real and all the rest of them failed.
What?
Yeah.
There's one called Be Real?
I think there is. I can't keep... There's so many of these, Snapchat and Instagram and everything. Who can keep up? You got to be a young
real,
person.
Like R-E-E-L?
I thought it was Be Real, like B-E-R-E-A-L. But I'm an old man. I don't know any of this stuff. So I just wanted to say, like, if someone was smart, wanted to get on that app and, you know, squat our handle, you're not going to get anything from us. We're not going to pay. Apparently, it is a French social media app released in 2020.
So wow. It's just French people?
No, it's a photo sharing app where once a day it sends your friends some random photo from your phone. Or you take a photo and share it. Yeah.
That doesn't sound like French. A good idea. That seems like the Zune where you could share your music if a friend was close to you. Like, that didn't really catch on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I assume because it's the internet, they're going to have a problem with inappropriateness pretty quickly. But whatever. Hey,
or just like that website StumbleUpon. I'm like, this seems like a terrible idea. Like, yeah. They send you to a random website on the internet.
That's what our show notes sometimes do. We try
I mean, Andrew, I should have really edited that part of the show notes.
I try not to. Folks, I do put links in, but like with anything on the internet, we don't go back and fix old links or whatever. So, you know, buyer beware on some of those things. But I do try and throw them in, you know, if you want to get some info. Once in a while, there's like a free sample or the book itself is online and everything. But yeah, it's hard with the internet being what it is and people not, I guess, paying their hosting fees or whatever. I do wonder about that for sites that have links from way back.
Well, like, that does was someone an interesting go through and one when them? Comixology exploded and then everyone lost all their stuff.
Yeah, no one likes that. That's sad. Sad, yeah, indeed.
Sad. I mean, but when we do a year in the review, that'll probably be one of the saddest moments.
But anyways, we're not here to be sad. Well, unless the books are sad. As you heard from the beginning of the show, there is a disclaimer. But as I always say, we're not really generally controversial. We just like to put that on there because Indie Comic Book Noise and its all-encompassing nature covers many topics that can be deemed mature by our immature society.
Or someone might deem us a woke podcast now. So, I mean,
what are you talking about? You say that every time now.
I'm just saying the barrier is really low now that we're probably one of those. We're probably, someone has a Twitter list and we're probably in that category now. I'm just saying.
There's no way we made anyone's list unless it's most unknown podcast out there.
I think podcast I'm in the Phil camp.
I don't listen to.
It's in about that list. The no one's heard of us, but for except for you, dear listeners, you're all number one in our hearts. But yeah, we don't really have any kind of large ad budget. We don't have any sponsorships.
We don't put that kind of effort into it.
So for it us, makes it hard to, you know, we don't.
Yeah, I don't even promote us at conventions. Like, yeah. I have that, all those flyers for Marvel Noise, our sister podcast, but wait, nothing for this one.
Wait, you don't do anything? That doesn't seem very right, Kevin. You need to get out there. And
I guess I should really print out our thing.
Why not just
and then have half of the logos, half of the flyers really be for Indie Comic Book Noise. Yeah. That's what I should really do.
Ugh. Oh, I'm depressed. Even our own hosts don't even care. But
that's how un-indie Kevin is.
Yeah,
it's indie very indie to not have no budget.
Are you kidding? It's super indie to promote yourself. That's what all those indie guys right, do.
Big company one.
You're waiting for that check from Disney to come through to promote us. That ain't coming anytime soon, my friend.
No, I have hope Disney will buy us up one day.
No, I believe we were already bought by Showcase.ca, a cable TV channel in Canada, and there's going to be some changes. They need to slash the budget.
China owns us.
So we can't have more than three guests now.
Yeah, three hosts, you mean. Yeah, we don't do
three hosts.
Interviews and stuff like that. Is that it's just not our style.
We've been asked, but I think we're just too lazy.
Well, I also think that's not our thing. Like, I feel like you do interviews, you should be an interview show. But yeah, that's not our jam. Like, I'm not we do sometimes have friends of the show on who might be promoting stuff or whatever, but that's fine. But I just feel that's like like if you want an interview thing, and that's a great format, but that's not the indie comic book noise format. Yeah. That would be like interview noise or something.
Yeah. I know I'm not really an interviewer, but to hang out and goof around, yeah, sure.
Also, I feel it might be somewhat inhibiting. I wouldn't want to invite someone on and then be like, oh, man, that last book you put out, bit of a dog. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that guy that's going to, like, we want to be able to, I mean, we try and be positive, but, you know, if we don't like a book, we're not going to tell people, oh, run out, this is the best book ever. Like, you know, I feel like we're honest about
people have sent us some pretty cool stuff that I've actually liked.
Oh, yeah. And
I would have liked to have them on, but I can't put in that kind of effort, as you've seen from my reviews.
I mean, you know? We do promote stuff that we get and like, but I also feel we're free to, if we got something. I mean, sometimes we just don't talk about it. But, you know, we've also mentioned books where we have issues or concerns or things we feel we're not successful. I don't know. I don't want people to think this is just some free promo channel or whatever. Like, I hope we're balanced.
How much you hate that comic me and Kevin liked.
Yeah.
What was it, Kevin? I don't remember the name. Hammer? Something banging hammer? What was it called?
Black Hammer.
Black Hammer. That's it.
Actually, I didn't really have a problem with that. I just was tired of us.
If it was called White Hammer, Andrew would be there all
like
the way.
I really like that, though, Andrew. I feel like you would like that universe.
I might. I just... It. I what I don't like for the show is this to, and this happens to us because it's natural. We tend to get in, not really ruts, but where we're talking about a lot of the same stuff. Well, and I like to kind of mix it up a little.
Yeah, but because we're collecting the same stuff a lot of the time, right? So
No, it makes sense. I just don't like that if it, and it, I've done it myself. Like, how many times have I mentioned
and
G.I.
Joe in
the last year?
And that was the kind of series where it was a lot of minis, so it was something new every time, you know?
Yeah, was it that new though, Phil? Was it that new?
Yeah, because they were two completely different books, the miniseries and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Talk. Well, how'd you enjoy the last of Black Hammer, Phil?
Oh, I gave up on it.
Exactly. So I don't want to hear it from you.
I gave up at it around the JLA crossover. That's when
Well, the series was over, the main series.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
I want to hear it from Sally Black Hammer here, who didn't keep up with the whole thing. Yeah. So.
But like Kevin said, I read the main story, though.
Yeah. Yeah, the main story was over.
Like all the best stuff.
Well, you don't know. Maybe this new... the new one is the best thing ever. Well,
if I saw it, I would probably pick it up, like if I was looking for something to get, you know?
There's nothing coming out for that, is there?
Well, there was that last one not too long ago.
Yeah, but I feel like it's over.
Well, they had the miniseries too recently.
Yeah.
Like, they have some, like, tie-ins, but they're very loosely tie-ins, probably.
Yeah, and then they did their anthology.
I just figure I would have thought that, you know, Dark Horse certainly could use some properties, given the licenses.
Yeah, kind of dying off today.
Oh, well, they have all the Comixology stuff. They have the Kevin Smith stuff. They have the Star Wars stuff.
What does Kevin Smith do that's good these days?
I have no idea.
Nothing. Nothing.
I'm not going to be reading. Oh, they have the Matt Kinn stuff, who I talk about quite a bit.
Yeah, I do like
the stuff.
I like those. They're probably 25 years old, but the Kevin Smith, Jim Mahfood comics I liked.
Yeah.
But that's from way back.
I think there was some industry retailers conference thing, and their biggest stuff was actually some manga stuff.
Yeah.
Or manga.
To me, though, that's when a company gives up on themselves, when they're, you know, they're just doing the Japanese stuff. Like,
I don't feel like doing a licensed thing is necessarily...
Like, that's like where, you know, you start getting My Little Pony books also and stuff, you know, and then you're done.
Well, it was funny. They had a story of, like, before Attack on Titan was the juggernaut it became, it seemed like they passed on Attack on Titan and were like, we don't think this is going to fly. And I was just like, wow. Like, after the fact, you're like, wow. Like, if they would have had an Attack on Titan.
Yeah, that would have been a nice feather in their cap. Well, we've talked about how it's a difficult... Well, there's a lot of new companies. It's also just a difficult business to stay in.
always been a difficult one, and licenses... always someone's telling you you're done and you're dead for ever since you began.
Yeah, and having licenses certainly is that double-edged sword of, you know, a guaranteed audience, but you're also whatever you're paying for that license. And when the period comes up, if you don't have the money, you're looking at someone else scooping it out. I mean, I'm trying to think of any licenses that have stayed. I mean, some companies, I don't even know if Moonstone is still around, but they used to have a bunch of licenses.
Carla has a...
I know I've seen
a comic publishing company.
I mean, I haven't seen Moonstone in years in the store.
Yeah, nearby.
So they're, but I mean, maybe they're still going strong. I don't know. And I feel like Dynamite also shifted some of their licenses around. Although they've usually had the John Carter stuff, I feel like. That's been a pretty solid license for them for quite a while.
I feel like they were never able to like Valiant it up and like keep that, like that, like a shared universe of like five books like that together for like years and years. Like, I feel like they've never been able to pull that off.
No, but they've done pretty well with some of the like Golden Age characters they've brought back. I think they've, you know, Miss Fury, there was that Dynamite Lives book I've talked a little bit about, yeah, which is the crossover. But again, some of those are licenses. The Ash of Evil Dead and Red Sonja.
My journey through the 80s, it's funny, the Golden Age heroes I've seen used at all the different companies. Like, even one, which company is it, goddammit? I think AC, the Femme Force company there, they only got like a couple issues out, but with like Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Question, and the Shade Girl, I forget her name right now, Night something, Nightshade maybe. But they ended up, because DC ended up getting the licensing after that, they had to stop, and they ended up using the characters, but with new names, new costumes, and powers.
Rorschach, Dr. Manhattan.
No, I mean like AC did, like, but they had one issue with the four of them together.
Yeah, but that's what their new names were when they redid them. And then it was another awkward moment.
Oh, no, but I mean like AC redid their names. Like, they kept going in their company.
Yeah.
It changed the characters, but yeah, I'm having more appreciation for some of those Golden Age characters now. As I've seen them, like, people redo them in the 80s and early 90s and stuff.
Well, Savage Dragon brought back Daredevil.
Yeah, and I've seen Daredevil in a couple other things besides before that too.
Yeah, I mean, Devils Due came back as a publisher.
And I didn't realize, like, when I got into the Protector series from Malibu, I didn't realize I've already read some of these characters in Superpower Project. Remember that one from Dynamite?
Oh, yeah, I guess there was that. What about Tokyo Pop? That came back too.
That I've never read, Tokyo Pop. Isn't that a company?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They came back.
Okay, yeah, I've definitely read their stuff then, yeah. And they did movies too, didn't they?
Did they?
Or maybe it was just movies based on their properties. Oh, I'm thinking of Tokyo Shock. Forget it.
All right, boys. I inspired by Phil's recent purchases and discussions, I pulled something out of my old long box and thought we might have a fun little chit-chatter. I have exactly two issues of this company's ending output, and that's from Malibu, because I'll be honest, I keep forgetting that Malibu started in that, like, was X-Mutants. I always, because I remember them as like a black and white book and totally different.
That wasn't the first stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't. X-Mutants. It's not Malibu Sun something? No,
Malibu took it, like, bought the companies that had X-Mutants already. Like, they took those companies in.
But that's still the same Malibu. Like, yeah, and they took over Aircell and but all those other ones.
The only X-Mutants they did was the shitty revision one, the second volume, which was based on the video game. All the rest was done by Eternity, Amazing Comics, and Pied Piper Comics.
Right, but they took over Eternity along with Aircell. And I don't know, just like fascinating. Like, they started in 86... and then went until, like, the
I have buyout, some of their first comics, too.
The buyout by Marvel. And I always forget that, oh yeah, they started with like a lot of these black and white books, because you think of those of us that were out of comics by then. I think of Malibu because Marvel ended up buying them purportedly to get their coloring technology. So it's a whole different... So I don't really know a lot of the Malibu when they decided to go and create a superhero universe.
Yeah.
Except I have two issues of that now, and that's the Prime Series Volume 1, number 5, and Volume 2, number 5.
Yeah, and Volume 2, that's when Marvel took over them.
Yeah, that's when they're in the cross. But it was kind of...
I prefer before Marvel. That's the...
Well, what I didn't know about the team was they actually had all, like, big names with it. Like, people it wasn't one of those companies, like, and no knock on them, where it's a bunch of names where you're like, oh, this is guys that I don't know in general. Like, these guys are all characters that have been established in comic book, you know, Barry Windsor Smith, for criminy's sake, James Robinson, you know, they got Howard Chaykin to work on some of it, Mike Barr, like Steve Englehart, Steve Gerber, Aaron Lopresti, like James Hudnall, like Nate.
And you could tell that because they had long-running series with issues that actually came out, where a lot of those companies, they never lasted as long as their series did, you know?
Yeah, I don't know this one name on this Prime issue, though.
Which Prime? Are we doing Volume 1 or Volume 2?
Volume 1. I don't know who the first name is. And I'm trying to forget the second name.
You don't like Jared Jones?
Don't internet search his name.
All right, Len Sprezens.
Kevin, why do you always do that to me?
Just
let me like comics.
Just don't.
I don't care. I want to know about people.
Exactly. So don't. Don't. Well, don't do it.
Well, I hope you've heard of Norm Breifogel.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I didn't. Who's that?
Batman.
Yeah. Andrew, I also have this Batman Adventures number 12 bag to open on air.
Well, how I ended up, I didn't realize there were two volumes. That's why I have both number fives, because I wanted number five. But what I thought was interesting, okay, so they're going to create this superhero universe. That's cool. And this character Prime is some kind of Shazam-style little kid who also turns into a big, muscly guy.
Good idea.
And, yeah, it's a classic. But what's weird is Breifogel is very, like, this is a big slugfest between the Prime character and this other cartoon-esque character.
Well, but, do you want to know the story behind that cartoon one? I don't know. I forget if they explained it in this, but in the issue before, that's like one of the bad guys from the Mantra comic. And basically he goes into a poster of this He-Man character, and then that's why he's a cartoon.
Yeah, so it was fascinating to see how the perspective shifts and their body parts change. So, like the... Like, in one panel, he's bigger than the other guy, and the next panel, he's a lot bigger, and then someone not as big, and when Prime defeats him, he rips his arm off, but it's very cartoony, like, you see the little bone a little bit, but it's not, like, piles of gore or whatever. It was just a fun, weird, cartoony attack of these characters, and in the meantime, the father of the boy contacts the army who's behind it all. And the army doesn't care about the kid, obviously. They just want the super soldier. And that's going to create the conflict that goes forth. Don't know what happened before. Don't know what happened after. Not going to be buying any other issues, I don't think.
No. See, out of all the Ultraverse stuff, Prime is the one I never really got into or read a lot of. Because it's always kind of grossed me out, the look of him. I just never really liked his look.
You can tune into a past episode where I covered Prime number one.
Nice. Oh, really? Yeah, I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, Prime is so ripped in here, and I'm like, is he... Like, I knew he was big, but it just seems like he's even more abnormally big.
That's how he always is, yeah. But the other Ultraverse stuff, there's some good stuff out there, so don't let this ruin it for you. Well,
I thought it was fascinating.
There's also the flip book, too.
Yeah, they put some previews of this stuff. For instance, the Barry Windsor Smith rune. And it looks very much Barry Windsor Smith, sort of era of his Weapon X Wolverine, that era.
There's some Conan Rune crossover comics too, which are kind of cool.
And then I did not know. I actually knew Nightman for the cheesy TV show.
Yeah.
The comic book. And that's Steve Englehart. Like, there's a name we know. And then they have a one-page Aragonés, the Mighty Magnor. And I love Sergio. So, yeah. No, like, that was... It was just interesting that this is the fifth issue, yet they're still running the cross-promotion in it for these other samples, which I think is smart. It was just a weird...
They do that for a long time, I believe.
Well, the other thing that made me laugh is, okay, this is $2.50. And they run a the middle page is not actually story related, but it's a big promo. They're offering zero issues for two of their titles, Rune, which is the Barry Windsor Smith one that's in the back, and Solution. So the problem is...
I have both of those.
You need to collect 11 coupons.
11.
For each, and unique 11, you can get more than one. So 11 coupons, and they suggest you photocopy. Don't ruin your comic, photocopy. So
don't be like Valiant and cut them out.
So 11 comics plus the coupon. That's 12 photocopies. This is 1993. Photocopies are what? At least 25 cents a piece.
This was common for the companies, though, back then. Like, a lot of companies did this.
Right. But I'm saying that you're going to be spending more money. Plus, you have to send $5 per set. So you're going to spend way more than the cover price of what those comics would have been for your free comics.
If you're patient, I got mine in the, like, dollar bin. So if you're patient, you can do that.
It just made me laugh when I'm like, it's not really that great a deal when you do the... I mean, I get... Now we all have free photocopying and that sort of thing. If you have a printer, it is a scanner and all that sort of stuff. It was just like, yeah, 93. Yeah, you're going down to Kinko's or whatever and paying whatever exorbitant price they're going to charge you so you can copy your stuff. And then you got to pay the $5 on top, which is, you know, cover price for two issues. But I hope it worked for him. I don't want to knock him. But yeah, I was like, wow, Norm Breifogel. All right, Norm. But I don't. The other one was the one I originally wanted from Volume 2 because of the writer is Van Lente. But he's going by Jan Van Lente. His middle name.
Tell ya.
Tang the penciler, Mike Christensen, Patrick Owsley, the letterer. And this is Prime Volume 2, where he's looking much less extreme, but it's set in Japan, kind of a one and done. But I thought it was fascinating when I got, as longtime listeners may know, I got back into comics when I found out that Fred was writing comic books and having them published. I mean, I would go in and look for New Martial Law, but that was pretty much about it. So then I got back in a big way, and so eventually I dug out this back issue, which he had listed. I was like, that's pretty cool. And in the back, they feature the crossovers with the Marvel characters. You know, you have the Juggernaut holding on to whoever the Ultraverse character is.
Well, Juggernaut joined one of their teams, the New Exiles.
Okay. I don't know the Ultraverse characters in it.
And Black Knight joined Ultra Force. Like, so he was, so both of those characters were in, among some others too, were in that universe for a while. Yeah.
I thought Cersei might have been there.
No, but she had a big part showing up a lot because she was one of the big bads in the big Avengers crossover that kind of ended it all.
Huh.
But what I would really like is, you know, the company's lasted like 9-10 years or something. It'd be great to have a whole book about it. You know, like what a fascinating to go from the black and white era to the color era. You have a bunch of crap made, Men in Black, Nightman, Ultraforce. I mean, some of that's made after the Marvel acquisition, but still, it will be fascinating to see like
Black
how
was
you survive.
Aircell,
right? But they that bought Aircell, so
yeah,
that would have been how does that like were they involved? How much were they involved? Did they just get lucky in some ways? They had a software company too. I don't know. It just seems like.
From what I understood, they were just a publishing company, so they helped those companies publish their comics.
Yeah, well, they published that first year of Image, too. They were the publisher of record.
That's so weird.
I mean, it just seems like what a... and then to get bought for your color... Like, it just seems like what a cool little decade and this transition from like black and white indie to color indie to indie exploding to the industry going in the toilet. You know, getting bought, buying other companies, getting bought out by Marvel. Like, it just seems...
They got Eternity, one of those. Those, they were one of the big indie companies.
Yeah, it just, I was like, you know, that seems like a perfect, you know, it's not an unreasonable amount of time, like 9-10 years. A lot of the people I presume are still alive. I don't know, I just thought it was like, that would be a cool, like, I read a lot of books about the industry and, you know, Marvel and DC and those companies, and I'm like, an Image has a documentary and stuff about that. I'm like, you know, this Malibu, like I said, I totally divorce, like, the X-Mutant stuff from this color.
Telling you, X-Mutants is not Malibu, though. Because it was all the X-Mutant stuff is before Malibu got those companies, and all Malibu did with it was the video game version of X-Mutants. It was totally different.
Yeah, but it's still X-Mutants.
Texas line. You know. Oh, it's, trust me, it's completely different. This is why I never, that series is why I never tried the old X-Mutants, and now that I have, I'm liking them.
Yeah. Well, you know, Air Cell is another kind of interesting company that I, but I don't know that.
I've read a lot of those recently, yeah.
That it would, that's, be an enough.
Auto company. That's, yeah, from Auto. Yeah.
But they also had like the adult line and like the regular, I don't know, I just think it's fascinating, these companies doing whatever they can to scrape by. And I presume when they got bought by Marvel, whoever owned it, I presume made out like a bandit. I don't know. Like, it's hard to know how those deals work, and sometimes people get screwed or whatever, but I was just, I don't know. That's one of the more interesting periods in comic book history, I feel like, that so much changed. Like, comics were on top of the world. Like, shops were everywhere. Like, I knew people that owned, like, loser idiot friends of mine with very little money would just open a shop, you know, get an account with a couple distributors and find an empty storefront and rent it out and everything. And then the Image, I don't know, just a neat period of time. And maybe also because I was getting out of comics at that time, it has a bit more mystery to it. More than, you know, more other times where it wasn't changed. I don't think we've seen a bigger shift since the introduction of the comic book store itself.
You can debate that.
Which was a pretty big shift, obviously. I mean, not that the newsstand wasn't powerful for much, a long time after. But I don't think now the newsstand sales amount to much of anything.
Well, most of the stuff isn't on the newsstand anymore.
I don't see newsstands anymore. Like, a bunch of the ones locally that I used to go to are gone. They've converted into other stores. There was these outdoor newsstands and a bunch. Yeah.
I can never figure out what still exists in your country and what is still around.
I mean, they have a few, but they're nowhere near as common as they were even 10 years ago. They convert to selling, you know, cell phones and CBD oil and all this other nonsense. And you're like, wow, it really, you know, there was a time when you could go. Because I like to buy, this is way off topic, but I still do fantasy football. And I used to like to get the magazines.
Are you kidding me? Are you goddamn kidding me, Andrew?
No, I like
fantasy football.
Yeah.
Give me all your comics. Come on. You're not a geek.
So it's fun. And I used to like to go, and you go to the newsstand and there's like 20 different magazines or something. And now I'm going to like, you got to go to a bookstore or something like that. Or they have a few magazines in different places, grocery stores and stuff, but not like those newsstand where it's just, you know, 200 feet of just newspapers and magazines. Yeah. And I don't know what that is in kilometers, guys. So, sorry to my Canadian and international listeners, but, you know, it was just something about looking at racks and racks of weird magazines for different hobbies and stuff. Yeah, that was my exposure.
So you actually liked the Fred Van Lanty Prime?
Because
I hated everything about that issue.
It really wasn't my cup of tea. I'm going to assume it's my lack of appreciation of the...
It's just Marvel really tainted that universe once they stepped in. It seemed so exciting at first, and there was some fun stuff you can pick out, but but it just took the quality down big time.
Well, it certainly seemed like they just torpedoed the thing. I mean, there's
like the first four issues before that, it was a Spider Prime story.
I'm thinking, what if they got the Star Wars license and then the second issue Spider-Man swinging by? Like, it could have been great, but, you know, probably not what you want.
No. Well, now they, you know, you can mix license. You're smart to carve out the rights to reprint, I presume. The other thing I loved was the ad for the Marvel Interactive CD-ROM comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, man, that looks like fun. Like, it's just the comic book, but then you take a little quiz or whatever.
Yeah.
You press a button, you hear whoosh.
Hey, that's what I like about computers. I like those kind of primitive, weird, goofy times. And then lots of cool ads for TV shows and stuff. It was just a crazy time.
It's fun going through those old comics sometimes for all the old
stuff. To see what... Because I'm used to, normally the era we're covering, it's a lot of video games, trading cards, that kind of thing. But to see movies and TV shows, I feel like, whoa, that's a pretty good ad budget. Like, they must, I'm sure they charge them a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And a big ad for the Mile High Comics Club.
Don't let Prime deter you from trying maybe a couple other titles. But don't get the Marvel stuff. Get the stuff before that.
Prototype, Mantra, Sludge.
Mantra is what got me started on it. Sludge I liked a lot. So like those two. Well, Sludge I'd say maybe start there because it's short.
Isn't that Gerber, Sludge?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing I guess I never realized was, you know, name creators for the company, which is always a smart move. I know Valiant does that too. You know, you get people that, I mean, not that, oh, it doesn't, you know, you also introduce new people and break out new stars, but always fun when you're like, whoa, look at me discovering the other stuff owned by these guys.
Well, these comics are cheap if you go find them.
Well, also, if you're going to do superhero, why not get people that have done superhero, you know, that know how to pop up a superhero universe?
That's what I mean, like compared to the other indie companies, these series actually lasted, you know, for quite a while.
Plus, I feel like if you like, they know how to build it so that a Marvel and DC reader would understand, you know, they know the tropes and the things and all the elements that go in.
They had some weird looks, though, to their characters, and I think that could have been part of the problem.
Well, fancy coloring, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so who wants to, who's up next?
Well, Andrew, I have two con men adventures to tell you about.
All right, give us the con man update. Kevin, right, going to shows.
I'll shut off my mic because he said only Andrew.
Hey, I missed the Long Beach show, so I need my fix.
And I feel I have two con man adventures not to tell you about.
The damage is done, Kevin. Don't try and include me.
Boy, I survived. I mean, I don't recommend two conventions in the same weekend. I mean, that's... Well, the other time when I pulled off something crazy, it was a much more fun weekend where... It was like a movie, free comic book day, and a con in the same day. Like that was pretty great. The trifecta was achieved. Try to pull that one off. A rare convergence of events. But yeah, Fan Expo. I made my return. Amid
fun,
some less than stellar travel.
So was the show, did it feel generally like the old days or like a hybrid show?
It was closer to the old days, but I mean, I don't think it was back to normal. It's weird, the amount of cancellations they had Well, you could build a whole other con with just the amount of cancellations.
I have a question, too. How many Walking Dead stars did you see?
Zero, because I think, I think the big thing was Stranger Things. Like, everyone was losing their mind over Stranger Things. You kept on hearing over the announcement system, so-and-so has added another signing. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're working
that guy hard. The guy from the background in episode 3, season 2.
Like I thought that show, like, what did I see, a season? And then I'm like, after season 3 or whatever, I'm like, oh, are people still watching the show? And then it just seemed to have blown up all over again. So I guess still a very popular show.
I watched an episode or two. It didn't catch me.
It's all right, but I don't go crazy. But I never watched the new season yet. Like, usually I wait a year or two or something like that.
Yeah. So they still have those RFID badges, which I'm not a super fan of.
What's that?
They have like that... special. It's like a tap in, tap out. But Andrew was saying before that there was a pillar for you to tap in, tap out.
Yes.
But at Fan Expo, they have literally people standing around with iPads and they tap you up. <yeah. laughs>
Okay, that does not seem as efficient.
So yeah, there's literally people. Like, I don't know if maybe if you have a day pass, like, what do you care, right? But they would still like to keep track of you, but people are definitely running past those people to get out of the building. And I heard someone say at one point, what? People blocking you from getting out to sign these badges out? Doesn't seem like the best idea. And yeah, it does definitely slow things down, especially at the end of the day. You're trying to get out, and it's all congested. And with the present conditions the way they are, I definitely took some efforts to try to avoid some situations.
Wow, I can't believe they didn't just set up the little, you walk through a little plastic thing with two little pillars on each side, and you just hold your badge against it, and there you go.
No. The other weird thing is they have these signs like, you must activate your badge and everything. It is mandatory to enter, but it never was in the before times. Like, it didn't matter. It's just if it gets lost, then you can't do anything, and they can't tell if you're going in and out. I tried it out in the before times several times, but this one I was just like, whatever. At least they have, like, at least when I used it, the free fast Wi-Fi. Because if you're demanding people do one thing, also don't demand they have a cellular plan that they want to use. Like, when you're placing demands on people, you want to make it easiest. So that was good. Like that you could use their Wi-Fi, and then it wasn't like bogged down or anything.
The shows down here, the Star Wars Celebration made you download their app and do everything through that.
Yeah.
The D23 show, which is coming up, which I decided I have passes, but I'm not going. Gave them away.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in how they're conducting things, and I just want to kind of cruise through this year and sort of slowly integrate, and I feel like it's not going to be, I don't know, I don't really like their policy is you only have to wear masks if you're having photo, like meeting famous people and you're close to them. But you guys can just give each other whatever you want.
Well, the policy here now is we don't do anything. We just follow the news, and you know, they say we exceed the standards of being clean and everything, but they don't do anything.
Yeah, so that just, I was like, you know what, it's just too many people. I like the show, but I'm not. Most of the stuff is going to be announced online. It's not really a shopping show. They're pretty tight on the vendors. It's not like I'm going to get, you know, long box diving or anything. And I don't need any of the exclusive merch or anything. So I was like, you know what? The show will be back. Same with Long Beach. Like, these shows, they're going to be around again, and I'll just catch them next year.
Yeah.
You know, fingers crossed everything will be better, and I'll, you know, I can miss it one more time. It's not the end of the... Besides, I get your reports about going in. Now, Fan Expo, you're just there as an attendee, right? You're not selling or exhibiting or anything?
I'm not rich. I'm not independently wealthy. It's been fascinating to watch the vendors like either go from big booths to small booths or from small booths to big booths over the year and see how that... Because like if you were to bring like dollar bins, and there are cheapy bins there, but if that's your only booth, I don't think you could sell enough dollar books because the booths like are crazy expensive. So you need some like high end stuff. You need to sell some of those to at least pay for your booth, and then everything else is like then you can sell some dollar books.
Yeah, I feel like that. I always feel bad like those are not. Some of the bigger shows aren't always the best shopping shows because, like
that,
you said,
yeah.
those guys gotta make their booth fees back.
Yeah, like traditionally, I would say a smaller show is a better shopping show.
Yeah,
and you have a guy that's blowing stuff out at something like Fan Expo. Like, there's still good stuff to be found, but it's a different atmosphere.
I've gotten my best comics at the small ones for sure.
Yeah.
And the community centers and things like that, yeah. You know?
But at this show, you get to meet a lot of big artists and stuff, though.
Yeah, I got to... Actually,
I'm more interested into the indie artists and stuff like that. Like, I'll go buy all their books and meet them, because I don't like going to the people like, where I can get their comics at the store, because I feel like that's a waste, you know?
I bought one thing at the show, and then I was like, I should get this signed. So Tom King was there with Mitch Gerrits?
Maybe? Never heard of him.
Of course,
that's my bit. So obviously, I've heard of them. Actually, believe it or not, before he blew up, I have a bunch of Activity comics signed by Mitch because before he was working for Marvel or DC or anything, he was one of the guys at FablesCon.
Ah,
he just had
okay.
that military book, the Activity. That was his.
Yeah. So. I was wearing my my old classic 11 o'clock comics t-shirt. So they're blown away by that. And then we were like nostalgic about the beginnings of podcasting and how no one knew about all that stuff like Fanboy Radio and all that crazy early internet podcast fandom. So that was interesting, you know.
Wait, so... About. You didn't take any chance to drop indie comic book noise in any of that, I noticed, Kevin.
Of course.
Glad you're the street team for other podcasts.
No, I usually say stuff like, oh, yeah, podcaster, whatever, you know.
Good.
Yeah, Mark noise, but you don't say indie, do you?
No, usually I don't drop indie.
Oh, Kevin.
And then they go Indiana Jones. No, I just made that up.
We're relying on you.
But remember, maybe this is what you want to hear about Andrew. Remember, I told you about the masking at TCAF.
Yeah,
I was amazed at the level of what was very 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 high, and I made a prediction about Fan Expo, and I was right.
I don't remember your prediction.
I mean, I know that TCAF is still a general, since it's in a library and anyone can go there and it's free and everything, like that's general audience, but it also has a different vibe, and I think people felt like they should mask up, et cetera, et cetera. And Fan Expo is like further on in the summer, so I was just like, it seems even more general and people are just there for whatever. Okay. So I predicted that people would be wearing less masks at Fan Expo, and I was correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was interesting, because I usually, it's funny, like when something happens, like if someone's coughing or whatever in front of you, even in the before times, I don't think there's really an advantage to you just walking through that cough that someone just exhaled onto the con floor. So I just I I immediately like walked around that whole bubble area and skipped that area immediately. And then when, usually you'd only have to worry about your immediate surroundings, right? If you're in a booth, there's what, five people or whatever can fit in that booth. But if you're on the floor, sometimes it can get a little congested. And by Saturday, I definitely had to get out of there in the afternoon and pop over to the Beguiling.
Yeah. So what'd you get at the Beguiling?
I got some more Bad Idea.
Look at you.
And more indie
stuff. We talked
stuff.
About never giving this company money because they didn't want it.
I know that if they didn't exist, I wasn't going to buy it. Like, they're doing their second wave now and everything. And I'm like, well... hilarious that in the previews catalog they have a 8-page Bad Idea comic that doesn't say what they are. It's just a random black and white comic that doesn't identify itself, does not say where you can buy more, does not do anything. It's just a random comic stuck in there. Probably a bad idea, because you can't, it's not like you can order it from previews. If you liked what you read, you just have no idea what to do next. So yeah, won't be ordering the next wave. Maybe at some point in the future, if I see it at the Beguiling, I'll buy some more. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. So, someone I usually always drop by to see is Michael Walsh. I mean, I got to get that Canadian content in there, right?
Well, we're not going to get it from Phil, so...
Nope. Damn Canadians. Waste my time.
So it was good after... You know you get to see people again, and you're like, hey, it's been a while. You have that conversation of, oh, this has been a long time. This is, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I picked up his Sleep Stories, Volume 1. And I believe this is online, too. I think he started doing these Sleep Stories a while ago.
Half the time, I have to check and make sure I'm still wearing pants. Like, I'm like not used to being out in polite society, so are my shoes drying? Am I wearing pants? Is my hair combed? I totally get the...
So these stories remind me of like when you were a kid and you had like unexplained moments, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like,
oh, the like wet spots.
is there a monster under the bed? Is there something in the closet?
Oh,
are aliens probing me right now? Move on the bed. Is that what you're going for, Phil?
Yes.
Okay. And like, these are stories, but sometimes it's like it feels like it's like a one-off. Sometimes like they'll just be a one-off quick page thing, but definitely some spooky stuff in here. And he has this thing where it's like it's like when the TV would go off air, or it'd be all grainy, which certainly helps some of the horror aspects in these stories. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I'm glad I picked something up from. Got the catch up and everything.
Nice.
What would I know Matt Walsh from?
Well, he has the Silver Coin going right now.
Oh, okay, so that's the one I gave a bet.
but you know, he's done like work for like the major companies, and I believe he also in recent times has done some Magic the Gathering stuff. So,
oh yeah, the comics, yeah.
No, the cards.
Oh, the cards, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that would make sense. So I picked up quite a lot of stuff. I mean, really, I should have picked up more because I was like, oh, I'm gonna go there and buy all this stuff. Like, I haven't been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know if I should pick up some graded books. And I convinced myself out of not getting them. So, I mean, I saw some interesting stuff. So, worthless stuff. Like, that's why I convinced myself out of getting some of the stuff.
Yeah, I find when I would go to Fan Expo, I'd spend like thousands of dollars, and then I'd go home and it'd be like stuff I'd never even look at again, you know, some of it.
Yeah, like, I always think I do.
I get a lot of buyer's remorse, unless it's from the dollar bin or like an omnibus I've picked up, but a lot of the other stuff, I don't know.
I feel like I get the reverse of buyer's remorse.
You feel you missed out?
I feel like I should just go crazy, just buy more and more stuff. Because I'm like, this is your one opportunity to buy some stuff.
Until next year.
Yeah, exactly, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't get through all that other stuff. I mean, and then some of the sponsors are like Whatnot, which is, they are touting themselves as the number one live streaming auction.
I've never even heard of them.
Site. Yeah, well, I mean, I keeping up with some of the trends in comics and stuff like that.
I only heard of them. They co-sponsored some of the Marvel booth at San Diego.
Yeah.
That's what I had heard. And they did the same. They did a few live auctions that they streamed where you go. And I'm like, this does not interest me. I don't feel like I'm going to get a lot of great deals. I feel like it's better for sellers. I mean, who knows? Maybe there are tons of great deals, but I feel like that we're going to hype it up and get in bidding wars and stuff does not favor me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know some people do the Facebook Marketplace or like the Instagram sales, and or I don't know if people are still using Let Go, speaking of other apps and places. I know there's one just for selling t-shirts and stuff like that, but I don't know, like,
well, it's a little different than like a one-off collectible where you're fist fighting some geek from who knows where, or for all you know it's a, you know, the proxy for the guy that owns it at any of these auctions.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be getting, yeah, but they're like making comics and everything now. They're in the previous catalog, I guess. There's, it seems like some popular things are being turned, like, I haven't seen really yet that like obscure indie comic that they're publishing. It like their first thing I think was something like, hey, popular on YouTube, 8 million views or something, and now it's a comic, which is fine. And I guess that's I don't know, because they're like, kind of like, there's never been anything like us before. We're so innovative. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess that's different. A YouTube comic thing? I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. But they had a big booth. And then they had this thing, if you had an account, then you get this can. And it sort of reminded me of when the Funkos had those cans.
Here, go recycle this for us. It's for the account.
Please,
Phil. So I don't know what
Phil, a recycling like can Canadian, is worth money. After
this sounds
you get
like
it.
A Canadian con for sure.
I know. So I'm just like, what is it? A coupon in there, or it's just an empty can? Like, I don't know. But there was a line. There was a long line for that stuff. And I noticed they were podcasting from their booth and stuff like that. So I mean,
well, did you muscle over there and yell "Indie Comic Book Noise" on their live mics? What are you doing? Like. It's like you're only part of the show when you're on the show. You need to be out there stumping for us at these things.
Jeez. I'm definitely going to get those flyers out for the next show.
Yeah,
forget Marvel Noise. Those indie flyers are going out next.
All right, so that seems like fun. So you did a second show, though.
So, yeah, almost didn't get to the second show. Well, I shouldn't say almost. There was a slight hiccup in getting home, but anyhow, I rushed home overnight to do another con and sell stuff. So, wow, I don't know if that was the best idea, but I set up. I didn't have a wall. I brought all my big wall books though. You know, bring it, put out the Funkos and all that type of stuff. Show I've done every year. And it was crazy because I thought, oh, for sure, nothing's going to be going on that weekend. And I had my original plans, and then I had to change my plans. And I'm like, I can't believe that I got to do a show on the last day, or what's supposed to be the last day of Fan Expo. And it's funny that I actually saw someone that had been to Fan Expo because they got the t-shirt that came in the bag and they were wearing the Fan Expo t-shirt there. So I'm like, you just came from Fan Expo. So that was kind of funny too. So it was a little different. Like there wasn't any, like sometimes they would have a few guests or some different stuff. But yeah, there was still a lot of people. Still a lot of booths and everything. It was all in one room, one gymnasium. So that was good. I did well. They have this thing where you pay more, you get in. I guess most cons do that, right? You pay more, you get in like X amount of time earlier to get first dibs at the good stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty, I mean, for smaller shows usually. I don't think necessarily I've heard it with bigger ones, but yeah, a lot of the toy shows and stuff, I know that first hour.
Fan Expo does that.
Oh, well,
like they have a crazy $500 ticket if you want to get in a half hour earlier and all that. But I always think if you're paying that amount of money, like you better go to that artist that's only doing like one sketch for the entire show or something.
Fan Expo for me, I always did that because it was worth it because I never had to wait in line like when I went in and out.
It's funny, even though I had like the premium pass, like they would just let you in sometimes through the VIP because it's like how many VIPs are going to be using the VIP line anyway. So it's like this, just put the premium people down the VIP line.
Look, I feel Kevin like it's all the system. Worth paying that extra because
the other thing to avoid crowds is always take the stairs. That's a Fan Expo tip too. Go to the side. And while people are crunching for the escalator, since they have a odd number of escalators, either going down or up, always take the stairs. It's less congested and, you know,
safer. It's
better.
No. The trick is wear a suit. They'll think you're part of the talent. You can go anywhere you want.
That's only a Phil trick.
First two times.
Nice. Smart man, Phil. Smart. So this show, though, I assume it wasn't like two stories or anything like that, or was it? Was it a big show?
No. This is a small show. But I mean, it's weird being the only comic thing. Like there used to be more, but circumstances are what they are.
You drove them out of business, is what you're telling me, Kevin.
I was wondering if they were driving me out of business, but then we sort of compliment. Like they used to have. Had older stuff and I had newer stuff, so it still worked out well. But yeah, I think this was the best show I've done. Like, nice. I'm gonna do the final tally, but I think this is the best one again.
Oh, congratulations.
And I sold some different stuff, like I had more space than I thought. Like I had a certain idea of how much I wanted to bring, and I'm like, whatever fits. Like I could have fit more on the table, but to physically bring it there, it would have been more of a struggle. So I'm like, what am I going to do with this extra space? I'm like, I'll put these prints out that I've never had space for. I only had one other show before, and like people looked through, but they didn't buy. But they're buying this time. So I sold some prints. So that was awesome.
Whoa, that's very cool. Do you sign them too, as whatever the artist is? Wait, give me a sec. Yeah, I got a signed one in the back.
Yeah,
you
well,
look
curious,
up how like, do you smell? How do you spell Amanda Connor?
Well, they kind of wonder, like, you're like, are you the artist type of thing? And I'm like, if I was the artist, I wouldn't be. And then I had to think, no, if I was the artist of this, I would probably still need a job, even though I would be a great artist because, you know, comics. You need.
Well, you also wouldn't be selling, you know, 20 long boxes, 8 racks of pops and 40 video games. You know, like you'd be selling your specific thing only.
I would definitely have more prints and stuff merch to sell
Yeah, it wouldn't be just long boxes of random comics by other people and
right. Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
very exciting. You did well. I
know.
To do that.
Yeah, oh, and then Kevin. And now I don't know if how the con scene is or the show scene or all that type of stuff. Like if things are still in flux. So they're adding a show.
Nice.
So I'm like, that's cool.
Are you going to sell at that one too or no?
Most likely. Yeah, so.
Well, it's nice that when they're one day shows too, you know, at least you're not worrying about, well, do I take my stuff down or how do I, you know. pull my wall books and.
Yeah, well, there was the one show where you could set up the night before, and you sort of go in there with the typical, like, you're not there with the books, so you don't have the wall books aren't there, et cetera, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave friggin' your rack of AF-15s hanging, Kevin. Someone will steal all of them.
AF-15s, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. When you leave the show, like, late at Fan Expo, and you see the guys with the duct tape, and they have, like, that, what would you do? Maybe some, like, plastic tarp that you would put over your boat or whatever. They're putting that over their comic booths, and then they're taking out the duct tape and, like, shrink wrapping their entire booth and everything. It's wild.
Yeah, Steve and I were at that Baltimore show when the fire alarm went, and the vendors were pretty nervous. I don't blame them. Like, you don't want to be, like, that seems like a prime opportunity to get taken to the cleaners. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
that's scary. I mean, you got real, you know, money, or especially like art dealers or stuff. Like, that's a lot of, you know, what do you take and how do you get enough of it out to make sure
they must have taken something.
I don't know. I think that they were, you know, they let them go last, obviously. But still, it just, I would be nervous. Like I said, Kevin, I hope you're insured for all those AF-15s, because if you, they get stolen.
I mean, there's facsimiles. Facsimile update. People like reprints and facsimiles.
Yeah, they're cheaper.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, who's going to... I mean, I've heard people before, like, oh, that'll never sell for more than cover price, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was watching the market, and I'm like, I bet they're wrong. Yeah. And, like, a few years later, yeah, sure enough, people love that stuff.
I mean, it's even at more than cover, it's still cheaper than the original. I mean, well, I'd like to find a facsimile that's more expensive. That'd be pretty funny. I don't know. Maybe there's some printing error or something that people scoop it up, but...
Yeah, right. Sometimes a sixth print or whatever, and then people are like, a sixth print.
All right. Well, I think we have a good amount of time, so I'm going to wrap this up for this week. Hopefully we can get Superior Steve to come back while our summer breeze, before summer breeze ends.
Which for me, just didn't want be Valiant a final on the summer show, breeze Andrew. Episode. A minute.
For me, I don't know that summer breeze will ever... be over at this point. I don't know. I couldn't get issue 2. I'm going to try and get it though.
Okay. Okay. So we'll
maybe
do a 3
by the time we do it. Yeah. Because I only
3? No. I don't think 3. Okay. Isn't 3 like January?
Oh, is it? I don't know. I'm not.
I don't know what that.
You're the previews, man. I'm just the idiot that buys them off the rack.
They don't go by previews anymore.
But
they solicit stuff and then they tell you it's
trying to end the show.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks.
Later.
Am I bit, Andrew? If not now, when?
All right, we're stopping this now.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door.
So I walked on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there. I care in the world. See the smile waiting in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Summer breeze.